This is the SB Live Washington podcast, a weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide preps reporter, and joining me, senior reporter, your pal and mine, Todd Millis, former college basketball standout, NBA player turned basketball analyst, and host of the podcast, The ISO with Dan Dickow. It's Dan Dickow. Fellas, how we doing?
I can't complain. I'm enjoying life right now. I'm actually hanging out with my son on a little trip, so can't complain. Looking forward to today's conversation. I know it's looking like we're getting closer and closer to high school sports, at least in some states. I know Utah, I know you'll touch on that, Andy. Utah played a football game a couple days ago. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm the only one in Washington right now. Where are you at, Dan? You want to disclose possibly where you're going?
Yes, my son and I are going to play a couple rounds of golf down at Bandon Dunes. So we're driving from Eugene, trying to head to the Oregon coast. And so we're on this call before we lose cell phone reception. It should be a lot of fun these next couple days.
Absolutely. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, no kidding. As Dan alluded to later on, Ethan Bauer of the Deseret News in Utah joins me. He covered the first high school football game in the country since the COVID-19 outbreak, and he gives an insight into what it looked like on the ground. And, you know, 51 football games took place last week in Utah after that Thursday game that the country was had kind of all eyes on. One was canceled due to a positive COVID test, but 51 total went off without a hitch. So we're going to talk to Ethan later. But first, an idea that was kicked around on Twitter and amplified by our very own Todd Millis touches on when high school sports return, what should happen, right? Kind of how do we honor the players in a way that's commensurate of the moment? And the idea, Todd, that was kicked around that you amplified was, should the first game of the season be senior night? So the idea came from Julian Washington. He's a defensive coordinator at New Manchester High School in Douglasville, Georgia. But in response to your tweet, Todd, there was some great conversation from folks connected to high school sports in Washington. It's an idea that, you know, the first home game of the season, honor the seniors. Let's just do it. Let's get it out of the way. It seems like a no-brainer. But, Todd, I'll let you explain why you think that's a great idea.
I mean, that's a lot. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's a lot. It's a season opener. There's going to be a lot of waiting. But I don't think at this point you can chance it. And I expressed that to a viewer who commented on it. I just don't think you can chance it. I mean, why not take advantage of that when you can? Honor these seniors. Heck, bring some seniors back from spring. If there's some baseball players, some softball players, some soccer players, bring them back as well from last year. They didn't get a proper send-off in their senior seasons or in graduation. So yeah, I see no downside to this particular idea. And the way it was responded to on social media, I think a lot of people, ADs, coaches, were on board with that.
Yeah, I love the idea. And I like how, you know, Todd had talked about even taking it a step further. And for some of those last year's seniors in the spring sports that maybe didn't have that opportunity for a little bit of closure, that's a chance to honor them. You know, it's so much of that, the thought that came back to my mind is the fact that you never know when you're truly playing your last game, right? There's a lot of high school athletes that will never play in another organized game past high school. There's a lot of college players that won't play an organized game past college. And then, quite frankly, for a lot of pros, it's buried in the fact that, you know, with the uncertain times with COVID kind of being that quiet elephant in the room that might pause or cancel another season unexpectedly, I agree. Let's go ahead and honor those student athletes, kind of celebrate what they've gone through. And have it part of what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Both great points brought up by you guys. I think the spotlight really is going to be on the kids and the seniors. So many seniors across this country had their high school careers end unceremoniously you know, after, to no fault of their own. That's the important part to highlight. And so, however frustrating and however long this wait is, you know, what better way to welcome back sports than highlighting kids? So a great idea, Todd. I'm glad you kicked that around. I'll be interested to see once sports return in Washington in a few months, how much it's picked up. I'm sure, you know, there's going to be some movement based on the response immediately. But moving on, a story that piqued my interest, and I'm assuming it'll pique your guys's, comes out of Wisconsin. States are making decisions about the future of high school sports and what return to play is going to look like. And the Wisconsin High School Association, in doing so last Friday, announced that it is allowing for longer games. So we're talking extra innings. We're talking five quarters of football. Once sports return in the spring, the rationale there is it's a way of giving kids more time to compete. That's something we've heard from Mick Hoffman of the WIAA. That's something we hear from you know, administrators, is how can we just give kids a time to compete, a chance, an opportunity, whether it's for a championship game or whether it's for an exhibition game. So I'm going to link the story in the show notes. So be sure, if you haven't read it, to do so. It goes in depth about everything the Wisconsin Athletic Association approved, including allowing until the end of the playoffs teams that got eliminated to kind of schedule exhibition games just to get more and more opportunities. But five quarters of football, extra innings, is this something that you guys think is worth exploring in Washington?
Let me just be blunt and frank, which, you know, sometimes I dance around some hard topics occasionally. This is dumb. It's just dumb. Sorry, guys. There's a reason baseball has been nine innings for high school, college, major league. There's a reason basketball is either two quarters, four quarters, and football is four. There's a reason soccer is a certain time limit. I understand the fact that you want to give more kids the opportunity to play, you know, but all that's doing, in my opinion, is feeding into participation trophies. And that's, quite frankly, one of the things that is negatively impacting a lot of kids in this day and age. You know, they think, hey, if they're just there, they should get a chance to play. Well, you need to be good enough to be on the team, and you need to be good enough to be in the rotation for whatever sport it may be. And if you wanted to be one of those featured players, you better be good enough. And there's competitive athletics, and then there's intramurals. If you know, you want to add intramurals, go ahead and add intramurals, but don't add an extra quarter to a game just to give some more kids an opportunity, you know, to get a participation trophy.
Yeah, I understand the philosophy behind the idea. I agree with Dan. Let's not make this a continuation of a game that's already being played, especially if the score is impacted. Now, listen, if you want to play a varsity four-quarter football game and the game ends and you want to take your varsity guys into the locker room and play a Kansas tiebreaker with some of the guys that didn't play while those guys in the locker room, fine. I have no problem with that. If you want to go play a two-inning game after a varsity game with those guys, you know, milling with their parents, fine. I'm okay with that if those players are on board and they want to support those teammates, but not as part of a continuation of a game, a fifth quarter, 11 innings, you know, an overtime period in basketball, whatever. I get the idea, and I applaud Wisconsin for trying to find ways to involve kids. But this, to me, I agree, this is not the way to go.
I realize it's kind of a loaded deck against this topic, asking a longtime sports writer who's navigated many a deadline late on a given night to file a story about extending a game in extra innings. Appreciate you guys weighing in on this topic. As always, it's always great to talk to both of you. So I'm going to link that story in the show notes. So the Dispatch, written by Ethan Bauer of the Deseret News in Utah, will also be linked. It's about the first high school football game since the pandemic broke out. What role does high school football play in communities across the country? I talked to Ethan after the break, so stick around. For now, Dan, Todd, great talking to you guys. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
This podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, More than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. The Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. Welcome back to the SB Live Washington podcast. I'm excited to welcome on Ethan Bauer as our next guest. He's a sports writer who takes an in-depth look at sports and other things for the Deseret News in Salt Lake City, Utah. Ethan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you're not moored to a specific beat or team, and your role as a sports writer is gives you the distinct ability to kind of take a deeper look and really paint a bigger picture on a given issue. The reason that we're talking to you today is a lot of people in Washington were really taking a hard look at the first high school football game to take place since this pandemic broke out, and it happened in Utah, and you were there. It was last Thursday. Could you set the scene of what that game was like, what your expectations were going in, and if it really looked like something of a new era?
My expectations were low. It was sort of a last minute thing. My boss called me on the day of, like probably Thursday around noon, and said, "Hey, do you want to, go cover this thing for us? And please feel free to say no, because I don't want to send you into like a COVID pit." And I said, "No, it's fine. I'm sure I'll be fine." So I went. Pretty much right from the get-go, you notice the weirdness, right? Everyone's wearing a mask. They really didn't, and I'm not in any way trying to blame the high school for this, because they could have never prepared to this degree, but they didn't really have a solid plan for the press. Like, the press box was closed because of social distancing, so I was set up like in a random bleacher in the end zone with no electricity and no Wi-Fi, which is definitely different from high school games I've covered in the past. Obviously, everyone is wearing a mask. They had sort of this procedure for getting in, where they had gate assignments. Like, when you got a ticket, you were told, okay, you have to go to this gate, and then from that gate, you have to go right to your particular section. The concession line was like, they had a station to order the food, then a separate station to pay for the food. And they had, barriers set up to make sure people were sort of flowing in and out of the area instead of just mingling while they were waiting for stuff. So there was a lot of weirdness. And then even the announcements in the stadium, like at least three times before the game even started, they were reminding people to stay in the appropriate socially distanced seating and to keep their masks on and stuff, which for the most part, people did keep their masks on, at least from what I saw. I was kind of far from the stands, but it looked like most people adhered to that. The seating was a little bit different. The stadium was supposed to be capped at 25%, and it looked to me higher than that, and I actually shopped that around to a couple of the other reporters, like, is it just me, or does it look like it's more like 50? And they all agreed that it looked closer to 50. And certainly there was clustering, especially with the student section for the home team, Harriman High School. So definitely different, but at the same time, other than the announcements and, looking around and seeing masks and the absence of certain things, like the marching band and stuff wasn't there, it did feel pretty normal in some ways too. Like, it was easy to get lost in the game. Like, I think the fourth play of the game, Harriman returned a punt like 60 yards or something. And at least for those moments where something big was happening, you could forget about the virus and get lost in the game.
That was going to be similar to my next question. Is, I'm sure a lot of your experience covering games is just focused on what's happening in between the lines, but this was, you know, so on the contrary to why you even went out to this game. How did you get a sense that just talking to people that you know, what was your sense of the community's reaction to being kind of the center of the restart for high school football across the country?
Oh, they were thrilled. I mean, especially in regard to being the first football game in the country since the pandemic started, the students I talked to were particularly happy and mentioned, you know, being a part of history and how cool it was to witness that. But just in general, everyone was pretty thrilled just to have a season back. And again, going to the students, one guy who I think told me had the most memorable quote in the story I wrote said, like, he was a senior and he said, "I'm really glad that we were able to have this because I don't know how much stuff we're going to be able to have this year because of the pandemic." And I thought that was a pretty good encapsulation of how everyone felt with the game just being able to get off the ground. I mean, there was one game that was scheduled for the next day here in Utah that was canceled when three players tested positive for COVID. And certainly everyone I talked to acknowledged that, you know, no game this season is going to be a given. It can all come crashing down if a couple of players test positive. But they were really thrilled to just be able to, you know, be there for this one game at least, especially for those parents I talked to who had seniors on the team. And even for those who didn't, I talked to a couple of parents who their daughter was a cheerleader for the visiting team. They drove down. It was like an hour-long drive. And they talked about just with her experience on the cheerleading team, how they had just come to see football as this perfect representation of sort of small town or suburban Utah, and how important it was to for them to have this source of joy and pride amid, you know, a pandemic that has dragged on for a long time now without really an adequate response in a lot of ways.
Your story, which ran last Thursday night, I'll make sure and link in the show notes. You did a really nice job connecting this football game to the larger conversation and daily torrent of news across the country amid this pandemic. And, you know, a lot of people working in high school sports and covering high school sports will speak to the importance that prep sports plays in communities, as you just alluded to, as a gathering place, especially, you know, during a time of trial like this pandemic. So how did last week's game impact the way you see the role of high school sports? Surely that's something that you've been thinking about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've always thought of high school sports as being really central to a community, especially this one. I mean, this community where it took place, Harriman, it's a relatively new community. In the story I wrote that their population has grown like 50-fold this century. It's really exploded as a suburb on sort of the outer edges of the Salt Lake Valley here. But that said, even though the high school is only 10 years old, it's still a really proud program. They won a state championship in 2015, and everyone at the game was just so proud to be able to support this program again. Granted, we won't know for 2 weeks or more the effect of this game and games like it on, you know, potential virus clusters and on expanding the range of the virus. And certainly that was at the forefront of my mind for the whole time I was out there, as much as, you know, as someone who covers sports, and I really do love the community aspect. That's one of my favorite things about sports. It was sort of this uneasy feeling of, you know, it's great that that people are happy about this and excited, and that it gives them a reason to be excited when there's so little of that right now. But there's sort of this shadow lurking over all of that that's like, well, right now it's a great community event because, you know, you can't see if the virus is spreading. But, you know, if it does turn out that contact tracers trace a, you know, big outbreak to this game, I feel like that community focus will take on a new dimension, and perhaps not a positive one.
You know, you mentioned at times with big plays, you know, being completely, you know, captivated and grasped by what was happening on the field. But was that sense lingering over the whole game in the people you talked to throughout the community? that, you know, I'm sure objectors of this game happening probably weren't even there. So that's an
interesting point. Most of the people I talked to were really happy to be there. And I mean, I asked pretty much everyone I spoke with, are you nervous at all about being here because of the virus? And everyone, right, like you said, it's sort of self-selecting. If you're there, you're not going to be too nervous about it. So everyone was pretty happy with the precautions that were in place. And again, like for the most part, people did seem to take the precautions seriously. I didn't see anyone sort of just take off their mask after a while, unless they were eating or drinking something or whatever. So I don't think most of the people there were too nervous.
What was your experience talking to people that worked for either of the schools, you know, people in administration roles and in positions of power at this game? What was the sense of, you know, this game is happening? What were their reactions?
The only one I really talked to, and it was pretty brief, was the athletic director at the home school, Harriman. And I would say overwhelmed was the sense I got. I spoke to him before the game, and there was obviously a lot of media interest in this game. So he was sort of dealing with that and trying to figure out where to put people. And, you know, that coupled with trying to figure out how to just have the game and what rules to put in place. He said something like, this is way above my pay grade. You could sense the sort of, I don't know if I'd say frustration, but just the nervousness. Like I said earlier, there was a game that got canceled a few hours, or I guess it was the day before, so probably less than 24 hours before this game. And I have to imagine that even up to the game time, he doesn't know for sure that this is going to happen. You know, anything could happen. So there was a lot of nervousness, but once it started to get going, I think that faded for him. And I saw him after the game, and he seemed pretty happy with the result.
Well, it should be worth mentioning that, you know, of the 52 games that took place across Utah, there was just that one canceled before the game took place due to a couple of positive COVID cases. You know, the extent of whether the virus spread at all amongst all 50 games won't be known immediately, but I would imagine, as somebody who's looked at this, who probably spent a lot of time anticipating what this game was going to look like last week, that seeing that many games go off seemingly without a hitch, without a reported hitch, is promising.
Yeah, certainly. Like you were saying, and like I was saying earlier, there's a really important community dynamic to high school football, and being able to have that and rally around it safely in a pandemic is certainly, you know, I think a good thing. But like you said, we really won't know the extent to which this could be potentially damaging. So it feels nice now, and hopefully it's able to stay that way, and hopefully these precautions are effective.
Well, I know there's a lot of people in the state of Washington and other states that have moved football out of the fall into 2021. Watching to see how these games will go on in other states that have taken a more open approach to playing. He's Ethan Bauer of the Deseret News. Ethan, I really appreciate you painting a clear picture of what the first high school football game amid this global pandemic was like. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Andy. I really appreciate it.
And I'll be sure to link Ethan's story in the show notes. I really recommend reading it. Paints a really good picture of a game that we've spent a lot of time talking about today.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Subscribe to the SB Live Washington podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, give us an honest rating and review. It helps us do what we do. For SB Live Sports, we'll be back next week.